outdoors, coming on the airwaves, coming your way.
Hey now, we're outside indoors, beat on a book on a snowy day.
Hey now, we're inside outdoors, baiting a hook and anchors away.
Baiting a hook and anchors away.
Baiting a hook and anchors away.
Inside Outdoors is brought to you from the beautiful rolling hills, forests, and lakes of southern Indiana. Produced in Bloomington and brought to you live every Saturday morning at 7 a.m. right here on your local community radio station, WFHB. Inside Outdoors features hosts Don Jordan, Buddy Bill Moser, and Rich Reardon, and gives you everything you need to know about the outdoors surrounding our local community, our state, and around our nation. With fishing, hunting, local and national outdoor news, the environment, natural resources, safety, issues in our community, and just down-home family fun. Our goal is to inspire how to be a good steward of our precious natural resources. You can call into our show at 812-323-1200 and ask a question or tell us what's on your mind. So sit right back, get a cup of coffee, journey with us into the lakes and woods, and find out what our natural resources have to offer. If you miss the show, you can listen online at WFHB.org. Just go to the public affairs listing, and you'll find a podcast of our show at Inside Outdoors. Hey, good morning. And with that, I will say introducing John Ward. Thanks for coming in this morning.
Hey, glad to be here. Thanks for calling.
This is Inside Outdoors on WFHB. We're here every Saturday morning at 7 a.m. It's Christmas, as you may have seen. I played a few things from Buddy Bill's Christmas Joy album, which we did years ago. It was lots of fun to do. And I'll play another cut from that later in the show. But I just want to thank John for coming in. Don's under the weather a little bit. He had some issues that he had to deal with, but he's doing okay. And Buddy Bill's real busy doing some things for Christmas. So one way or another, you know, John, you've been in a few times, and you've been a great caller for a really long time. And I appreciate you coming in here and helping out when you can. It keeps us running smoothly.
Well, I enjoy it. I'm happy to be here. I didn't get to do any prep. You gave me kind of late notice, but. I've got just two or three things that I can mention, and I'm going to have to play off of your information.
Well, and this is Christmas. There's not much going on, you know, right before Christmas, as everybody knows. I figure we'd talk about a few things to do with old Bloomington and our memories of the past. And because things have changed around here quite a bit. But first, I'm going to give the weather report, which is, it is now 28 degrees. It wasn't too bad this morning, pretty clear, and we're going to have a high of 47 today, and it's going to stay in the 50s all week with partly sunny situations, so it looks like a beautiful week for the holiday.
Hey, after what we had, this is great.
I'm looking forward to it. The 50s, you know, I can deal with that.
I don't even mind that 28 in the morning. That's a heck of a lot better than 10 or 12.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And so anyway, it looks like tonight we're going to be sunny with a high near 47. Tonight, partly cloudy, low at 28. Then Sunday, mostly sunny, high near 50. Partly cloudy again, night lows around 30. And highs, sunny all week, pretty much. Highs of 53, then 53 again. So 50s, like I said, all week long. So I'm excited about that. That's cool. Well, I tell you, you know, I was playing some stuff or I was listening to a show on the way in, and also I've been listening to a lot of music lately around the holidays, which I love to do because I like to revisit some of the old stuff. And, you know, you got Gene Autry, and you got, I mean, all the gambit, you know, of people that have done Christmas songs and stuff, you know, and it's really fun to listen to. I hope everybody takes a little time. And now it's pretty easy with YouTube or whatever. You can kind of search for some old songs and stuff that you've kind of forgotten about. But and there are a lot of great programs out there, and WFHB does a lot of that too. But I love the Christmas theme, and I always have. And it's really fun to hear that music come out. You know, even, you know, Gene Autry. Wow, what a great recording. I don't know if you guys know what I'm talking about, but it's out there.
I definitely remember that.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, I think I heard a little bit of Buddy Bill while you were playing that this morning. I think you ought to make a half-hour show out of that stuff. That's pretty good stuff.
Well, it's great. We try to be talking at Christmas, but we're going to take next week off and give everybody a little break. You know, it's really great. We've been doing this show since 2002, me and Buddy Bill, and Donna added into the mix later. It was, I think, about 2006 or something. And before that, we had Phil Rambo, who was a great guy. He's a fisherman, retired. He used to be the principal of Ellettsville. I'm sorry, I don't remember the exact school there because I didn't go there, but the Ellettsville school, he was Phil Rambo. He was the principal of that school for a while, and then after he retired, he went out and became a crappie fisherman. And so I'll give a shout out to Phil from all those years ago, and it was kind of fun when we first got started. It was great talking about fishing and hunting and whatever was going on in the environment. And things have changed a lot in the last 20 years, you know, since we started. Of course, this would be our 17th year, I think, right now. So, but I wish y'all could have heard all the things that we've done throughout the years. It's just amazing.
Well, if you ever get a dead spot when you don't have anything going, I don't care if it's right at Christmas or not. I think you ought to replay some of that old stuff.
Yeah. There's some pretty funny stuff. We had Ted Nugent on the show one time, if you can imagine. That turned into quite a hilarious little thing. And I'm not a big fan of Ted's, other than his early music. You know, I liked him as a guitarist, but him flying around in helicopters shooting machine guns at critters is not something that turns me on very much.
No, didn't sound good.
No. But we're not going to get into the negative today. We're going to talk about, you know, all the good stuff. And right now, I just want to tell you, you're listening to WFHB in Bloomington, Indiana. We're volunteer-powered community radio at 91.3 FM in South Central Indiana, also 98.1 in Bloomington, 107 in Brown County, 106.3 in Ellettsville, and online at WFHB.org. And, you know, that's what we do down here, and we try to bring really cool stuff to you throughout the year in all kinds of areas. And we're Bloomington's community radio. So this is not Fun Drive or anything, but, you know, consider that. Think about it for a while. If it's tough for you to give a few bucks, maybe you could save up for it and think about it. But if you appreciate our program and some of the others, please just go online. You can donate as little as $5 a month. It all helps to keep us you know, on the air and moving forward. So anyway, it's not Fun Drive. I'm just going to leave it at that. That's just my personal opinion. So I wanted to talk about a couple things, John. One of them, and I think this is kind of an interesting day to do it, but how do you feel that Christmas has changed? And I'm trying to keep this leaning towards the outdoors. But when I was a kid, we used to go out. My parents would say, okay, we're getting ready to go to, you know, Christmas is about to happen. We'd trudge off with a saw and a hatchet, and we'd go get a tree out in nature somewhere. And eventually there were like little Christmas tree farms. I grew up in Pennsylvania. And did you go out and have a Christmas tree every year when you were growing up?
Well, I spent a lot of time with the natural tree, but I can't claim I ever cut one down.
Yeah.
I usually bought a pre-cut. I'd say what you're talking about is almost, I don't mean it's in a bad way, but that's almost fairy tale life now, because yeah. I doubt if very many families enjoy that aspect of Christmas.
Well, I think, you know, I'm just bringing it up just for that reason, is that it was an amazing thing to do as a kid. It was like, it's just normal. I mean, when you're a kid and they say, we're going to do this, you just think that's what you do, what everybody does, you know?
And actually, it was an excellent thing to do.
It was great.
Yeah. But I'm just saying, I doubt if it's followed very much, except maybe in the mountains or in a real rural area where they've kept the tradition alive.
Well, and you know, what I mean by all that is that, just to describe it, is you go out there in the cold and you back in Pennsylvania, you know, everybody doesn't seem to dress up anymore because they're getting right into their car and they think that, you know, everything, you know, it's fairly warm in the car and whatever. I've seen people walking around in shorts and like, I mean, not just one or two. I mean, I'm talking about maybe six or seven people I've seen just generally walking around in shorts, like at Kroger or whatever. And it's like, you know, I don't know. It's hard to register in my mind because growing up in Pennsylvania, I had a down jacket. I had gloves. I had my boots. I had my snowsuit if I needed it, if I was going to go out there and play in the snow when I was a kid. I mean, my parents had me set up. I was not going to get frostbite, you know.
Well, I think a part of that's a mindset of the parents is how the younger people dress today. The shorts, that doesn't bother me too much because I know you can get your legs kind of conditioned.
Sure.
But I'll tell you what, it does amaze me when I see flip-flops.
Yeah.
In the middle of winter.
Right. I used to tell my kids, you know, they'd come out with a little windbreaker and, you know, it'd be like 20 degrees or something. I'd be, get in there and get your coat on. And it was warm in the car, Dad. Well, yeah. You know, if the car breaks down or we have an accident, you're going to be one cold person standing there next to the side of the road, you know, and it might even be an emergency. So, no, go bring this along. And, of course, we are in southern Indiana, and I did grow up in a little more northern clime, but... boy, I was prepared, and sometimes it was cold, and you felt good when you were all bundled up and had good boots on with wool socks and everything, you know. But we spent time out in the in nature too. You know, we were outside. We weren't sitting inside playing video games on
right.
a Saturday afternoon.
You're already into another topic of what's changed,
right?
Because all I did in the bad weather was I was in northern Indiana growing up, so I wore plenty of clothes because mom wouldn't have let me out of the house without them.
Oh, sure.
And then we stayed outside and played for hours, mm-hmm. even in cold weather.
Yeah. Well, I've said this on the show many times, but my mom would have to drag us in. I mean, it'd be like, it's 6 o'clock, dinner is done, get in here.
Right.
It wasn't, it was literally as soon as daybreak, you know, we were ready to get out there and get going, doing whatever. And I loved playing in the snow when it, you know, I saw a lot of it when I was a kid, but it was really fun to go sledding and doing whatever, you know, that you did outside. But I just loved it. And getting back to the Christmas tree thing, it was nice to go out with the family. Everybody gets dressed up. It's different, especially if it was snowing, and sometimes that happens, which gives me a little smile about the song White Christmas, because you certainly, at least where I grew up, it was nice when it did snow, you know, around Christmas. Everything gets quiet, and you see the lights, and, you know, you're going out to church that night, and you're going to have some good food. The grandma's over, grandpa's here, you know. It was a great feeling growing up, and I wonder whether that's kind of lost somewhat. I think it has throughout the years.
I'd have to say it's a big percentage lost, if not completely. Did you get a lot of snow in that part of Pennsylvania?
Yeah, I grew up in North Central, which was right on the Susquehanna River in a town called Bloomsburg.
Right.
And so it was about maybe, well, in the earlier days, there wasn't a good road, so it would take about 4 hours to get back to New York area where I was born, in Paterson, New Jersey. And then later they built Route 80, which now goes New York to San Francisco. And it only took about 2.5, 3 hours, it cut like a good hour and a half off the trip. But the reason I bring that up, it was up in the mountains. We were definitely in a place where we got a fair amount of precipitation throughout the winter with snow. And so, long answer, yes, we do. We did have a lot of snow.
I figured you did.
And it was great. Yeah. I didn't really mind it. And plus, we lived on these big hills, like where I grew up. I mean, the whole town was built on a hill, pretty much. The Susquehanna River was in the basin, and so we even had flooding. I mean, we saw everything. But when it snowed, there was a little state college there, and I don't know, man. You can get feeling that way if you get over into IU and it's snowing some night and you know, just kind of walking around over there. It's worth doing if it snows. Drive downtown, park for a little bit, and take a walk through Sample Gates and just walk in there if it's kind of coming down in the early evening. It's a beautiful thing. It's especially with when you're around a situation where you're not in the middle of the city or whatever. I mean, what I mean by that is I just love the college feel. You know, you got all these beautiful buildings and it's nice and quiet and it's kind of lit up everywhere. It's a beautiful thing to do. So if you do see some snow, enjoy it.
Well, where I live, I'm right in the middle of a lot of woods, and all I got to do is go about, maybe 150 feet, mm-hmm. and I'm in the start of the woods,
yeah.
and I get to enjoy looking at the difference in the last 3 months of what's going on with the trees, and when there's a little snow cover, I can see the animals better, I can see the tracks, and the deer just stand out like silhouettes. When I was a deer hunter years ago, I always loved to have a little snow on the ground because
yeah.
they couldn't blend into the brush as well as they can when there's no snow.
Sure.
But I like watching them now. They walk right through my back field right outside my kitchen window. And when my wife was still at home and well enough, I always took her to the kitchen window so she could watch the deer.
Well, and, you know, people complain about the winter and everything around here, but, yeah, and it's cold, and sometimes that's a little uncomfortable. But you can prepare for it, and I think what you're talking about right there is really great. Like, you look outside, and you can see, wow, look at all the critters were in my backyard last night that you never notice in the summer. I mean, they come walking through, but you never see a sign of them. So I always love that.
That brings up an article that was in a local paper over in Owen County. People were surprised to see coyotes, and they thought there was a big influx. And DNR kind of pointed out that you can see them now.
Mm-hmm.
They're always with us. It's just you don't see them.
Yep.
And that makes a big difference in how many you think you got.
Yeah.
When I see rabbit tracks around my place, I'm always amazed because I seldom see a rabbit in the woods.
Right. Well, they do. There are a lot of critters that come out at night, and that's part of it.
Right.
But, again, just the snow to see the tracks and kind of see what's going on. It's interesting to kind of know that there's a lot of activity going on even outside when you sleep. My little dog decides to let me know in the middle of the night what he hears outside. And, you know, it's funny how they can... Even through a house, they can figure it out that there's something going on out there.
They almost sense it.
Yeah.
My dog, I don't hear nearly like I used to, but my dog hears things I never even thought were going on.
Right.
And she responds to things sometimes when I don't think she even heard anything.
Yeah. Hey, well, listen, we got some music coming up here, so that means we have to take a break. And this is Inside Outdoors today. It is almost Christmas. Buddy Bill and Don are off for a couple weeks, and I've got John Ward here in the studio with me, and we're going to continue talking about Christmas and the outdoors and things we care about. We'll be right back. This is Inside Outdoors.
You're listening to Inside Outdoors, brought to you from the beautiful rolling hills of southern Indiana. So hang in there, and we'll be right back with more Inside Outdoors after this short break.
This is WFHB in Bloomington, Indiana, volunteer-powered community radio at 91.3 FM for South Central Indiana, also 98.1 in Bloomington, 100.7 in Brown County, 106.3 in Ellettsville, and online at WFHB.org. And I've just checked again, and it's fair out there. It's 28 degrees, and so a little bit cool, and but it's going to be a beautiful week. This holiday week is going to be in the 50s. Pretty much low 50s, but we'll take that. So and mostly sunny. So again, you're listening to Inside Outdoors. We'll be right back. All right, we're back, John. How you doing?
I'm right here, buddy.
You good? So we were just talking about critters and footprints in the snow.
Right.
And being outside.
That's the way I know what kind of animals I've got, because a lot of times I don't see them.
Yeah. Well, and it's interesting also to just kind of see what wildlife is out there. I've been noticing a lot of cardinals, and I guess I've always kind of known that, but that cardinal tend to stay around. But
they're a winter bird.
They are a winter bird, yeah. And you'll see them on your fence post out back or wherever, or on the eaves of your house. I've gone out and got some bird seed and try to make them happy, because I feel bad for them. It seems like it'd be awfully hard as a bird to get yourself enough food every day, and when it gets to be wintertime.
Yeah, they're built for survival, or we wouldn't have birds.
Sure.
I'm sorry to hear from Don's report that we're losing so many birds to different problems, and the populations are down.
Right.
I finally got to hear some cranes flying over, some sandhill cranes.
Yeah.
I was mentioning that I hadn't heard much, but on three separate occasions outdoors, I heard one or two groups go over. It was pretty foggy skies, and I didn't see them. Mm-hmm. But that carries a long way when they get to whooping.
Well, I'm kind of lucky in that regard, that I'm down near the southern end of the lake by the dam, and it kind of is a little funnel there where a lot of geese will come through, especially off the lake and other areas in there that they congregate where it's less humans. But I have heard and seen quite a bit this year, so it was nice to see those birds up there. Now we talk about that issue of birds disappearing, I try to appreciate them more and more as I see them out there, and that's why I kind of notice the cardinals playing in my backyard and some of the others. So if you can feed them, please do. It's fun just to have them around, and they seem to be real happy. I had a little trash can where I do burning in my backyard, because I'm way out in the county, and the top of it had some water in it from the rain, and they were up there. The birds were up there just having a great old time bathing. And so even water can be real important to one. So if you can build a little bird bath, it's just really great to see them come in and enjoy that and use it and survive the winter.
Yeah, they will eat snow, but it doesn't hurt to put a bowl of water out.
No.
Where they can get at it and your animals can't if you got outside animals. But this time of year, you kind of forget about them needing water, but they appreciate it. I've seen several of them come drink out of a bowl of water that I put out for the cats. But my cats are so old and lazy, they'll watch the birds instead of chase them.
Right. And I was hearing, I was listening to a podcast yesterday that kind of caught my ear, because it's audio. But what I mean by that was they were talking about the various insects and things like that. And I'd never really heard this before, but a praying mantis will prey on hummingbirds, which I didn't have any idea that ever happened. I mean,
I've read that.
Yeah, they'll like hang out by, and that's kind of the way they look. You know, it's a camouflage. It looks like
right.
A stick, and they'll hang out by a flower where a hummingbird will come, and boom, and they can grab them and hold on to them. They're very strong for their size. You know.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've ever really played around with one, but
I've handled them, and they can actually draw a little blood with those front graspers.
Right, right.
When they grab you.
Yeah, I can't imagine if they were 10 feet tall, they'd be pretty formidable little being.
Be an excellent prehistoric look.
Yeah, but I mean just being strong, because they can. If you can grab a hummingbird out of the air and it's as bigger than you, then you're probably pretty strong.
Well, the bird's revenge is when those dudes hatch out of their cocoon.
You're right.
They're just little bitty things,
mm-hmm.
and there's hundreds of them in each cocoon.
Yeah.
And the birds, as soon as they see that happening, they're having lunch.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it's the circle of life, you know?
Right.
Well, anyway, really was thinking about being outside, and I still haven't kind of finished what I was going to say about the Christmas trees. When I was a kid, we'd go out, and there were certain areas, because I was in Pennsylvania where you had natural forest and you were kind of allowed to do that. Then eventually, this was in the mid-60s, they said no more of that. And it gave rise to a business of people who had Christmas tree farms. You know, they'd grow rows and rows and rows of them. And they'd rotate it through the years because it doesn't take too long for a pine tree to get to Christmas tree size. It's gonna, you know, to get to a giant tree size, it might take 30 years, but you can get one in about 5 years, pretty tall, at least 5 or 6, 7 feet. And so I had a job in the summer, which was one of the worst experiences of my entire life. We'd go downtown and it'd be about 5 in the morning, 6 in the morning, on a Saturday morning, and guy would drive up with a pickup truck, and there'd be a bunch of us, and he'd point out who he wanted because he knew who were workers and who weren't. And we'd get in the back of the pickup truck, go way out in the, you know, to his property. We had to trim Christmas trees in the summer. And believe me, it doesn't sound too bad until you get out and do it, because, boy, it'd be 5 and 6 in the morning, dark. You get out there, start walking down and trying to do your job, and then you'd be cold and damp and you know, your feet would get wet. And then next thing you know, the sun would start coming up, and by noon when you quit, it would be 89 degrees and hot, and you're already damp, and oh man, it was just miserable. And you'd be by then being bit by bees and every other kind of critter that was out there. And then I had a different little perspective about going out that winter and picking one of those trees and cutting it down.
It made the tree more valuable to you.
It certainly did. So I remember a lot of that, and we don't do it anymore. I mean, like, you got to buy your tree at Walmart, and you know, and there's some good to that, because I think with the population we have, we certainly in many places don't have, you know, there's a lot of hazards with a tree. I mean, literally it can burn down easier than a plastic tree.
Well,
things like that. But
my experience with getting a tree at Christmas, the closest I came, and it's not close to what you're talking about, is we always made a family search for the tree,
right,
from the different vendors. And Dad would make sure that we didn't just pick the first one we saw.
Right.
So we had to go around and look, because he liked the experience of getting us out, kind of like you, but not quite as masculine he-man as what trudging the woods would be. But we spent a lot of time gathering up a tree, and I enjoyed that.
Well, and it was kind of funny how Dad seemed to have that knowledge. You had to be 50 years old and kind of know, oh, this is the tree you need, boy. I'll tell you why. And it was always, there was a lot to it, you know. And I'll have to talk about one other thing that I kind of have a pet peeve about, and that's getting too early into Christmas.
Oh, yes.
When
yes.
we did that tree, it was Christmas Eve day, and that was the day before Christmas, and you went out there, you got your tree, you dragged it home, you put it up. And we had, you know, the little red and green thing where you put the tree into and put some water in it. And then we had trains. My dad was really into that. So we had trains we'd put around the tree. I mean, it was a whole ordeal to get it all rigged up and to the point where it looked beautiful. And then you put your lights in it and then this and that. And then trimmed it. And that night we would, you know, the grandparents would be there, and you'd have some eggnog and whatever for the kids, and next thing you know, you're putting, you know, the Christmas tree bulbs and or what am I saying, the ornaments, you know, we'd have some that we made as kids and that came up in their family and stuff, and you'd unwrap them and look at them, and then my parents would have you know, the Christmas music playing of various things. They had a little stereo with their vinyl, you know, records. And it really was something. By the time you were done at the end of the night, it was special. And if you do that all in November after Thanksgiving and just kind of look at it for a month, to me, it doesn't have the same weight.
Right. I agree with that. Plus, the stores push it on us so early. I don't like that. Even in my 40s and 50s, my wife and I, we didn't wait till Christmas Eve, but we about the weekend before Christmas, we'd get the tree, mm-hmm. and then we'd call the kids. They were grown by then, and if they wanted to come over, one or two of them would usually show up to enjoy trimming the tree.
Yeah.
It was just a bit of an experience. It wasn't as elaborate as what you expressed, but we all enjoyed it, and then we all sat around and looked at it.
Right. Well, maybe my family was, they seemed to be pretty nostalgic about everything, but, and it was sort of a routine, maybe not a routine, but it was a special kind of thing.
Oh,
that
there's
they did
nothing
every
wrong
year.
With what you're talking about.
Oh, yeah.
If more families enjoyed that, I hate to extrapolate too far, but I think we'd have a more conscious society if
right.
more families enjoyed things like that.
Yeah, and I think you, you know, the other point about it is into January, you kind of have this feeling like you're taking the season with you, and it is like sort of an important bump for the rest of the year, like to really appreciate things. And I always felt like it was sort of a, I don't know, not just that you got a present or something like that, but it meant more than that. And the presents were kind of the icing on the cake, you know.
Right, yeah. Right, and should be.
Yeah.
They're not the reason for the season.
Yeah, and I didn't really care so much. I mean, it was nice to get presents, and they were always cool. And my parents thought about it a lot, and we had the stockings. But, oh, my gosh, I mean, my mom making Christmas cookies and stuff. That was a big part of Christmas too.
I didn't mind. Memories. Yeah, I have a lot of those memories. You don't have to be an extremely religious person to appreciate Christmas if you don't want to concentrate on the religious aspect. Just the familiarity with family and friends and good cheer and the good food. And things like that are something we can concentrate on if we would.
Absolutely. And like I said, I grew up, a lot of my family was in New Jersey, and we were all kind of from the Christian side of things, but we had a lot of Jewish friends, and the Hanukkah was a big, important part of
right.
this season. And it's all beautiful. It's all done very well. If it involves the family and brings everybody together, then it's not necessarily the religious thing. It's a lot more than that.
And right. You can have it either way and still enjoy the season.
Sure. Well, anyway, that was great. I talking about how things have changed. I also remember, of course, I did not live in southern Indiana, and we get some bad weather, and we usually kind of get the 2 weeks or so of crazy cold weather with a blast from Canada, but we don't quite get the kind of snow and other things, depending on the year, that I used to deal with up in Pennsylvania. But certainly it's a good feeling when you can get out, and I think kind of the nice thing around here is it's a nice time to hike and stuff. I like hiking in the summer and everything, and getting out into the woods. But if you bundle up just a hair and wear a little bit of gloves and get some boots on, it's a nice time to go out some of those trails, out by Lake Monroe or wherever you want to go, because you don't really get real sweaty. You know what I mean? It's not quite as uncomfortable as being like an 89 degree day and you're wearing shorts, you know, and trying to drink water all the time. It's kind of a nice to see the whole area with the leaves gone. And I just highly would like to promote people getting out and taking a walk and getting away from their phones and their computers and seeing what's out there, because this is the time of year when you have a little time. It takes away anxiety, and it's just a great thing to do.
Well, I'll tell you, a cold weather hike, even what you might call a short cold weather hike, mm-hmm. is much more invigorating than an August hike.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, our August hikes can be kind of hard in some respects.
They can really wear you down.
But, you know, it's something different every part of the year. It's one thing I like about this area is that we get the seasons, and you get to appreciate various things. You know, definitely it gets cold, but when that spring sun starts coming around, you feel so good and watching everything wake up and do its thing. So, but yeah, now's the time to appreciate the winter for sure.
Right, and you people here in Bloomington are fortunate because you've got access fairly quickly mm-hmm. to areas where you can do the kind of things you're talking about.
Sure. Yeah, I mean,
a lot of towns you'd have to drive a long way to get to a forest or a system of trails.
Even in Indiana.
Yes.
And, we were just talking about some of the great things to see in southern Indiana. We are lucky here, and you can be lucky going all the way down to the Ohio River with the bluffs and hidden places that are really cool to go. I've got this big Jones now to go to the Don was telling me about this place down in southern Indiana. It's down kind of near New Albany. It's south of French Lick and all that stuff. I want to say Hemlock, but I think it was Hemlock something. Anyway, I'll have to look that up. But it's a really, there's a lot of real interesting little hidden areas where they have some waterfalls or little bluffs and cliffs and old growth trees and stuff all over southern Indiana. And so I also encourage getting the heck out of town a little bit, and you don't have to go that far, see a lot of really interesting things.
Well, I don't remember the name, but there's a state forest or state park in Indiana that's noted for having a large forest of hemlocks.
Yeah.
And they're a little bit rare. I wished I could remember the name of that park. A friend of mine told me about it. I have to confess I've not been there.
But, I just looked it up. It's called, well, I think if we're talking about the same place, it's called Hemlock Cliffs.
Well, that'll work. That could
it's down near English, Indiana.
Is that a park or a state forest?
It's Hoosier National Forest.
Okay.
But it has got a trail. It's also got some really interesting rock formations and caves and waterfalls. And then, of course, just the general hemlocks in the, you know, in the forest are really amazing. And they got a lot of hiking trails and stuff.
Exciting topography.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's a lot of great things to see around here, and especially in the winter. And so don't think you got to be in the middle of the summer to do it. Of course, you don't want to go driving off when you're about to have an ice storm, but it's great to be able to get out and do those winter hikes. They're great, too.
Right.
And it sounds like the music's coming back. I got to take another quick break. But again, hey, this is Rich Reardon. You're listening to Inside Outdoors. Don and Bill are taking a little break over the holiday, and I got John Ward, a longtime friend of the show, who comes in now and then, and so we're talking, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to Inside Outdoors, brought to you from the beautiful rolling hills of southern Indiana. So hang in there, and we'll be right back with more Inside Outdoors after this short break.
This is WFHB in Bloomington, Indiana, volunteer-powered community radio at 91.3 FM for South Central Indiana, also 98.1 in Bloomington, 100.7 in Brown County, and 106.3 in Ellettsville, and online at WFHB.org. Hey, real quick, I just saw a caller call in. I couldn't answer because I was about to talk on the air, but give us a call back, and we'd be glad to talk to you in the next segment, which is going to be coming up in about a minute. And in the meantime, I'm going to tell you real quick about the 7-day forecast, which is today. We're right now at about 29 degrees in downtown Bloomington. It's going to be sunny mostly all week long, beautiful weather, and in the early 50s, and maybe lows around 30 almost every night. So looks like a beautiful week for Christmas. And again, you're listening to Inside Outdoors. Caller, give us a call back, and we'll go from there. All right, John.
We're back.
Yes.
We're back.
So, I just said this, but it was not taped. I said that live. Give us a call back, caller. And looks like there they are. So hold on a second, and we're going to put you right on the air.
Let's see who's calling.
All right. Are you there, caller?
Hello. Yeah, this is regular guy, Dan.
Hi, Don. Dan, how are you doing?
Hi, Dan.
Good. Hey, I got it. Hi, John. Yeah, really good to listen to you guys this morning.
Well, you surprised me, but I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah. I understand you can't work all the knobs there flying the plane and can't answer the phone. But hey, I wanted to say right off, Rich, I don't know how many years I've been listening to you do the Well, way back, the show with Jason, where you're interviewing musicians, and then this thing that's only been going on a few years, but you're really interesting to listen to and hear what you know, and it's pretty rare to hear just you talking about your experience.
Oh, well, thank you.
Really enjoying that, and all the stuff about being out in the wild. What I came to my mind that I wanted to call up about is that I'm real frustrated in my, let's see, am I in my middle age? I'm in my late middle age, I guess, like you, Rich.
Mm-hmm.
And I look at this world that's come up around me, and I really don't have much to do with it. Everybody's looking at a cell phone, and everybody's looking at the internet, and just buried in electronica. And what you guys are talking about, both of you, is you go outside, and there's just this amazing world around you, and you forget about yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And there's this thing of, you know, you kind of invent the reality when you're out in nature. And I think it's what we all like about fishing and hunting. And I don't fish or hunt very much at all. I don't hunt at all. But I just like to get out there.
Yeah,
it's a very good feeling to be outside.
Yeah, and so you know what came to my mind is I could complain for an hour about what all the younger people are doing. My kid is 32, but I won't bore you with that. What I think they're missing is that you go out there and you look around and you just see a world that's so much bigger than we are. And you're just not focused on what everybody thinks of you, and what, you know, you're not thinking about your Facebook page and what's right. Everybody saying and all this crap that I hear from younger people. But they miss out on something really basic, which is you kind of get to invent your own little party there in the whatever it is you're doing. You're just a little part in something that's so much bigger.
Right.
Well, Dan,
this week I was standing outside. I'm working out in the country for this couple, and it's funny. I'm there improving a fence to keep their dogs from getting out. The dog's been chewing through the wooden fence, and so I'm adding some metal to the pickets. And while I'm there, there's just a quiet moment when I'm not running the saw, and I hear sandhill cranes way up.
Yeah.
And I can't even see them. They must be 5,000 feet up. And anyway, they're just this moment of just the awe of this great big world that's out there.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's amazing.
The kids don't get to experience this because they won't stop looking at their phones.
Right.
Well, Dan, I agree with you, but I also want to place a little blame on the people that are bringing those kids along, because they're not giving them the experiences to follow through on. And so...
Yeah, you're right, John.
Yeah, I think that's...
But you know what I want to say to that right away is that isn't somebody else that's teaching the kids that. It's you and me. You know, if I don't take that kid and say, come on with me, we're gonna go get a tree.
Right.
And we're going to walk down the trail, but more than that, it's I'm walking along and I'm saying, just be here. I don't. After a minute, you don't have to tell them anymore because they're awed by it too.
Yeah.
Right.
So, Rich, I want to say something about this to you. You keep mentioning every week. You've been mentioning Hemlock Cliffs. I've been going out there for 20 years, and I met the U.S. Forest Service guy. He just shows up there one day with he sets up a little table right there, and he does a little interview for his, you know, he's just doing surveys.
Mm-hmm.
So he asked me, how many times do you come here a year? And I kind of had to scratch my head. Well, 20, 25. But that place is just amazing. It's like a sanctuary to me. I go there just any time I'm in a bad mood or don't know what to do. I just head down there. And if you get a chance, go there when it's been rainy and then it freezes, like a month from now. It's really incredible there because all those cliffs have ice formations on them.
Yeah.
And it is extremely dangerous to move around on those rocks when it's frozen over. But you watch where you place your feet. And
sure. Well, yeah, I've been bringing it up because Don brought it up. Then I looked online and I saw what it looks like. And I thought, you know, it's a very isolated sort of place down there. It's not really right on the beaten path. And I got to go down there and see it. So, I have been talking about it because I'm excited.
Okay. So if you're making the trip and it's so enchanting, it'll just stop you in your tracks. It's so beautiful there. If you want to know about another one that's just kind of over the hill, it's not very far away, but it's called Yellow Birch Ravine, and it has, as far as I know, there isn't even a place to pull off and park. But I just pull over to the side of the road. I've been in there a few times. Very, very similar to Hemlock. And then there's one that's right next to Bloomington. It's just over just as you cross in Owen County, and that's called Green's Bluff.
Yeah, that's really a nice place.
And John, you got to be close to there.
Yeah, I'm very close to there. I've been there several times.
What's the name of the road you live on, John?
Oh, I'm on, actually, I'm on Highway 43.
Yeah?
Yeah, right.
I know that road real well. So you're close to which?
I'm a half mile past what used to be the county home.
Sure, I know right where that is. Sure.
Yeah, I'm a half mile on south.
Travel comes in there, yeah.
Yeah, and then I've got a drive that runs up quite a ways. In the summer, you can't see my home at all, but you can see parts of it in the winter.
Yeah. Green's Bluff is, that's only a mile or two, not even 2 miles from you.
That's correct.
And just so you know, I've been going out there for 20-some years, and I'm finding out that all around there, the private property is, you know, people that have land abutting that thing, they hold on to it, but they allow hikers to come through, and everybody around there is just kind of leaving the thing alone because it's so unusual and most people I know who go out there, they think it's off limits, and in fact it's open to anybody. It's Nature Conservancy.
Right.
You'd be surprised how many people in Owen County have never been there and don't even know about it.
That's right, and it's okay with me that they don't know.
Yeah,
right.
That's the other side of the coin.
You can sneak in there, and it's just magnificent. That is just such a beautiful place. And again, in the winter, I go there a lot. And last, maybe 2 years ago, I took this couple out there with me, and they just didn't even have any idea there was anything like that.
Yeah.
And we got down in the creek, and it's a little canyon, you know, with a great big steep cliffs on each side of you. And we're walking on top of the stream. And man, it's just the most beautiful thing.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'm hogging the ball here, and I'll let you guys get back.
Well, thanks for calling in. I always appreciate hearing from you, and it's been fun. We're just kind of reminiscing. It's not a lot of outdoor stuff going on unless you make it happen for yourself, and that's what I'm trying to encourage people to do. So I appreciate that
you like that.
It's
there's a lot on the internet, but you got to look up sometimes, and there's another world out there.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're exactly right.
All right, well, thanks for calling.
Thank you, gentlemen.
All right.
Merry Christmas.
And when he says looking up, you know, that's another thing that people don't do too much anymore, but I certainly did see it this morning, but it's dark, and we're about ready to hit, I believe, today. We're gone out as far as we have been away from the sun, and we're going to start heading back into spring as of today. And you can see Orion out there and beautiful constellations. And another neat thing about it being this cold and interesting time of the year is when it is clear, you can see a lot of stars, and especially if you're away from the city a little bit, away from the lights. And I really enjoy looking at the planets and the stars and things like that that you can see this time of year. And there, so there's a, there is a little benefit about the days getting shorter, too, as you get to see a little bit more of the night, you know, night situation, which I love.
One thing you brought up about Christmas and going into January, and when we were talking about that, we had another family tradition. Mom and I would bet each other a nickel on when my father would first say it's almost spring, because usually after January 1st, he was talking about spring.
Sure, yeah. Well, and it's time to start listening to your, you know, your intuition, because you know it's coming. You just start feeling the things get a little longer. I love when you just start to feel that first inkling of, you know, spring's coming, and it, and there's little signs, and it's fun to look at too. And if you, again, if you're looking at your phone, you're never going to notice it. Yep. But you got to get out there and see little changes and the little things that really happen. And I think that's part of the reason we have problems with global warming and all these things we're talking about is just people. It's not in people's consciousness anymore, even though they live in it. They don't really realize it, but with all these technologies and new homes and stuff, it sort of it sends you into another place, which you think is reality, but it really isn't. I mean, the stars are still above you, the critters are out there running around, and hopefully you know, nature will go on in as the way it has been, because there's a lot to see out there. It's beautiful.
You know, you mentioned you've got quite a few cardinals. I haven't seen many, but I've seen some. But I'll tell you what I've got is an infestation almost of blue jays.
Oh, really? Yeah, I've seen a few.
Yeah. The problem with them is they'll run the other birds off.
Yeah. Yeah, they're very, very territorial.
Yeah, and they're aggressive about it. Mm-hmm. But they're not hurting the other birds. They're just keeping them away from the food until the blue jays are full.
Right. Well, I've just been lucky. We've got a couple of cardinals. We've seen them. I swear it's the same birds, because they hang out in our backyard. But they just seem to enjoy it there. It's a nice little area that we got a big field next to us where I think a lot of the birds get some easy pickings for various food throughout the year. And so we've got a fair amount of them around us. And but I love those cardinals. You can see them standing around when it's snowing, and they seem to enjoy it.
Yeah, and they definitely stand out. Like I was talking about the animals standing out.
Sure.
I don't think any animal stands out more than a cardinal in the snow.
Right. Totally agree. And they're beautiful. They're the red with the you know, the white snow coming down. I've seen them standing on fences where there's like four or five of them, and it's just wow, you know.
Now, it can, you know, to tell the difference between male and female, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's interesting, the difference in their plumage, even though they both are somewhat colored alike. The male just is so much more red.
Yes, totally red. And it's a scarlet red. It's a beautiful red.
Yeah.
It's not, I don't know. It's just about the most perfect red you could ever think of. And if I think of red, I think of a cardinal. That's
right.
I think that's closer to crimson, what they might call it, like the IU color. But
well, it's a bright red,
it's
as
definitely
far as
bright.
I'm concerned.
Yeah. And, you know, there's other things out there that you'll see running around and in the winter that are just interesting. I always wonder how animals get along, you know, in the cold weather and the snow and everything else. But they're very well connected to it, and so it's not quite as bad as you might think. You know,
they're built for it.
Yeah,
they're built for it. The Creator had that in mind, I think.
Yeah, I think that there's, you know, a lot of them hibernate and stuff. And we've been talking about bears and throughout the years, of course, You know, it's real interesting how nature has changed a bunch, and I wish I had Don here right now, because he'd have a lot to say about it. So he's really interested in the habits of wildlife, and I've learned a lot from him in that regard.
Yeah, he's very knowledgeable, and I don't think he would be talking with a whole lot of pleasing about how things have changed.
Right. Well, I tell you, the another thing that's really great about this time of year, and again, I kind of touched on it making cookies, but, you know, it's time to also kind of make some feasts and really think about your family and that sort of thing. So I encourage you this year, if you're doing any of that and somebody came into town, take them out and take them on a hike and show them the lake. Show them what we got around here, because don't forget, you know, just don't stay at home. Go out there and at least spend one afternoon enjoying everything. If I can say that this Christmas, that's it.
Hey, Merry Christmas to y'all out there.
Yeah. And sounds like the whole show is winding down. Boy, we just talked about Christmas the whole time, but that was really fun.
It was enjoyable.
I joined always when you come in, and we appreciate you so much, John. And so thanks to Buddy Bill and Don. I hope you're feeling okay and enjoy your Christmas.
Right.
And everybody else out there, enjoy
Merry Christmas to Bill and Don and everybody listening.
All right. So you're listening to Inside Outdoors. This has been WFHB in downtown Bloomington. And enjoy your Christmas, and we'll be back in a couple weeks. Next week will be the best of. Bye-bye.
Hello.
Well, that's all we have time for today. Inside Outdoors comes to you from the beautiful rolling hills and green forests of southern Indiana. Thanks for listening. Inside Outdoors is brought to you each week on Saturday mornings at 7 a.m. right here on your local community radio station, WFHB. If you happen to miss the show, you can listen online at wfhb.org. Just go to the public affairs listing and you'll find a podcast of our show.
So thanks everybody for listening and tuning in this morning, and so we'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
Bye.